RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us, do so. Crushperformance.com is the website. Sign up for our newsletter, get our podcast, and get all the links to the world of performance there, crushperformance.com. On Twitter, at Jeff Crush or Crush Performs, and on the other social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel, which has turned out to be a ton of fun. Check out Crush Performance. Today, we continue our talk on baseball. We're into the second half of the Major League Baseball season. The All-Star Game is behind us. Lots to talk about there. And today, we're going to talk about a couple of big topics for me. Number one, player development. Such a big, big part of the game right now. And for young players looking to create an opportunity, either through college or into the pro game, it's very, very important part of player development now. We're going to talk with Randy Sullivan, the founder of the Florida Baseball Ranch today. It's one of the more reputable, cutting-edge programs on the planet right now. They just do it right. They look at the science, they stay on the cutting edge, and they're not afraid to take bold steps when it comes to player development. Some really, really great stuff going on at the Florida Baseball Ranch. Randy will join us later today to talk about that. I'm excited for that one. Been looking forward to that one for quite some time now. So stay tuned for that coming up in the second segment. And then we're going to look at the baseball bat. Such a simple, simple tool, and it hasn't changed much over the ages, you know, other than maybe the composite and aluminum bats coming in, but the whole concept is the same. Round bat, round ball, make contact, and run like hell, right? That's kind of how it goes, and that's how it's been, and that's how it's going to stay. But when we look at technology and the influence technology has had on player performance, and certainly from the equipment side, but also from the technology in terms of analytics and recovery and the smart watches, smart clothing, and the data that we're now getting, it's incredible. Could technology possibly improve the baseball bat? And not just in terms of performance, because I think we see a lot of that going on with tennis rackets, golf clubs, certainly baseball bats, sweet spots, the composition, some of the new alloys and materials they're building the bats out of. But in terms of a wood bat, what could possibly change? Well, Easton has come up with something very, very cool, not only to help performance, but what's even more exciting for me is to help our athletes reduce their risk of injury. Easton is coming out with the Easton ADV, with the Power Boost Soft Knob, a very, very cool concept to help decrease the risk of injury to the bones of the hand. It's a really cool concept, and just when you think, you know, such a simple tool couldn't get any better, it's getting better. We're going to talk to Scott Stevenson, Easton rep, coming up later in the show to talk about how the baseball bat could potentially work to help us reduce risk of injuries in our players. Such a great move. Anything we could possibly do to reduce the risk of injury, you know, if you listen to the show, we're all in. And I want to talk about this today because it's a big, big advancement for the game of baseball for sure. So much to talk about. All right, the second half coming around. And it's going to be an exciting finish for baseball. It's also maybe some troubling times for baseball. If we look what happened in the offseason, the tension between the MLBPA and the owners group in terms of the amount of money spent, the free agency or lack of signing, lack of movement in the free agency market. Now, a lot of that has been attributed to what's going to be happening in this upcoming year. There's been some moves, and I think there's going to be more moves that might soften the excitement on the 2018-2019 free agency window, but it's still going to be pretty exciting, and I think we're going to see some of the richest contracts in the history of sport coming up this year, so stay tuned for that. But that being said, baseball in the first half has had some very interesting issues that is going through. If we look at the All-Star game, for example, I think it really mirrored what's going on in baseball. We had 10 homers, which is a record for the All-Star game, 25 strikeouts, and only like two or three other balls that were put in play. It kind of depicts what's going on in baseball right now. The big story for me, the big three, home runs, they're off the charts. We have strikeouts and hits and the issues that we're facing there, because we're seeing maybe for the first time we're going to be trending to a point where we're going to see more strikeouts than hits in the game of baseball, and I'm not sure that's a good thing in any way, shape, or form. We'll get back to that in a minute here, but I wanted to go back to last week's show where we kind of looked at the first half, and we also talked with the guys at the University of South Carolina in Aikens. We talked with Brandon Aiken, the Assistant Athletic Director of Sports Medicine there, about one of the first ice-free training rooms in collegiate sport. It's a big, big move as we shift away from using ice for injury management, recovery, and return to play. It's stirring up a bit of a conversation and maybe even some controversy because ice has been such a traditional part of sport performance and just the sporting landscape in general. But the research now is showing us, and we've known this for some time, but I think it's just becoming more definitive now. It's showing us that ice can actually slow recovery in terms of injuries and between competitions and workouts. And it's really sort of a massive shift in thinking when it comes to how we're managing our athletes. Again, remember our priorities when it comes to performance. Sleep, rest, and recovery are number one. Anything we can do to improve those parameters will improve the athlete and everything that he or she does. So if we have an opportunity to improve the quality and the speed of recovery, we have to look at it. And last week, we had a bunch of comments from last week's show regarding that conversation. I want to thank everybody who wrote to us and even called, and we had a couple phone calls as well. Because, yeah, it is sort of a new way of thinking when it comes to what's going on in terms of recovery. The movement away from ice, it's happening and it's going to happen. There's no question about it. So I wanted to thank Brandon for that. You can get that podcast. Go to our website. We're on Google Play. We're on Apple iTunes. We're on TuneIn, a bunch of different platforms. You can get that podcast and listen in. Some very, very interesting stuff. Also, last week, we looked at which teams got the biggest bang for their buck in the first half, and it was pretty interesting. It's something kind of fun that we do each year, but when we look at the payrolls in Major League Baseball, they're going up. There's also some great disparity. One of the things that I really like to look at is the smaller market teams without the big, big payrolls, how they're able to compete with these monsters who have $200, $190 million payrolls, and who's able to compete in this world of Major League Baseball. Well, the team to watch in the first half, the team that got the biggest bang for their buck, by far, the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, the Brewers have been very, very progressive in their off-season approach and also to their player development approach. They're getting really strategic with their scouting and drafting and adding talent into their developmental cycle, and it's paying off. They're number 26 in overall payroll at $106 million. And in the first half, they're going head-to-head with the Cubs in the National League Central Division. So they're the team to watch, and return on investment in the first half, definitely the biggest bang for the buck, and it'll be interesting to watch them in the second half. Number two was the Oakland A's. They have the lowest payroll in Major League Baseball, number 30. $82.8 million is their entire payroll. And listen, if you look at where they finished in the first half, they did a tremendous, tremendous job hanging on in the AL West, which is tough. They're behind Houston and Seattle, which are two teams to watch in the second half, especially Seattle, how they've overcome the loss of Robinson Cano with his PED suspension. They carried on like nothing even happened. And they're battling, of course, the defending champions, Houston Astros there. But the Oakland A's, you know, holding on there, I guess, number two with the biggest bang for the buck. The Braves are right there, number one, especially with everything they dealt with last offseason. They were number one in their division, number three overall for us. Cleveland is a number four, biggest bang for the buck. And, of course, Houston. They're number 12 in overall payroll, defending champions. They've done a great job in development. We've talked about their story before. They're not going anywhere. They're just getting better. And they're going to keep this payroll, I think, fairly consistent. It'll be interesting to see if they add anything to sort of finish off their roster as they head to the postseason. But, you know, for the most part, we kind of know who's going to be in the postseason already. And that's not a great thing for baseball. You know, at the start of the NFL season, you can pretty much guarantee that majority of the teams have a legitimate shot at competing for the postseason and, you know, at least to be competitive. Well, at the start of the Major League Baseball season, we know there's teams that aren't going to be competitive. And this whole idea of mailing it in, possibly, I'm not sure any team deliberately mails it in. But with the new rules, hey, it's a possibility. And I think that was one of the touchy points this offseason with the MLBPA is the way teams were spending or not spending money on players. They may be spending on player development or things to help players perform, but they weren't paying the players. And again, that's why we saw so many free agents sitting on the sideline, even as the season was well underway. So baseball's got some interesting details Siemens that it's going to have to take care of if we're going to move into the next CBA with calm waters, which I'm not sure that's going to happen. Fingers crossed for the game that we love so much. But the first half was really interesting, and for three big reasons: home runs, hits, and strikeouts. Those are the three big topics for me coming out of the first half, though there were some great storylines, great plays, some great players, of course. But those are the three hot topics for me because, boy, we've really seen some things that we haven't seen in baseball before. Let's take home runs, for example. The number of home runs is off the charts, but the Yankees, though, again, the triple threat that we feared they would be, if you're not a Yankee fan, if you are a Yankee fan, hats off to you guys. Well done. Cashman is a genius. And of course, Boone and stepping in that managerial role, really, really fun to watch. And the team not only tied the 1990 Seattle Mariners first half home run record of 152 home runs, they surpassed it, finishing up the first half with 154 home runs, a new record that's going to be hard to beat. And though that long ball is sexy, we need balls in play. There needs to be more balls in play. And right now, we're not on a good pace. We're on pace for a record number of strikeouts in relation to hits. Right now, as of mid-June in 2018, we're on pace for 41,609 strikeouts, more than the number of hits that we're projected to get, which is 40,543. If we go back to 2009, there were 33,591 strikeouts and 43,524 hits. We have an inversion of these numbers going on, and I don't think it's great for the game. I mean, attendance is down. The TV ratings for the All-Star game were slightly down. I think the game's going to be healthy. The playoff second half are going to be great. I think it's healthy, but boy, we have to watch this game with interest. Analytics is really, really changing it. So a bunch of interesting storylines. Those are the big ones for sure. Hey, listen, we got to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to start talking development with one of the top programs right now out there for developmental baseball. We're going to talk with Randy Sullivan from the Florida Baseball Ranch. Doing some unique, very, very smart things there. Later in the show, we're going to look at a bat that's helping us reduce injuries for our baseball players. All this and more coming up on Crush Performance. Stick around, everybody. Hey, everybody. Jeff here. I just wanted to give you all a heads up that we just discovered this week the subscription button for the Crush Performance newsletter hasn't been functioning properly. So I want to thank everybody who wrote in to let us know. The Crush membership is very important to us, and our weekly newsletter is a big part of how we help our members develop the very best plan for getting control, getting focused, and getting results no matter what your goals and objectives are. So if you've recently tried to sign up for our newsletter, please try again at crushperformance.com. Our incredible tech people have the problem solved, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's get back to the show. More Crush Performance right now.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. As we get set for the second half of the Major League Baseball season, we're taking a look at the first half, the second half, the top storylines. And right now we're going to get into a conversation I've really been looking forward to for quite some time. Player development is such an important conversation, and we just can't get enough of it, regardless of what sport we're talking about. And again, we say it all the time. We look to all different sports to get perspectives and ideas on talent development, skill acquisition, and different insights into how we can tap into developmental strategies so we can push the ceiling of potential to the highest point possible. And when it comes to baseball, there's a few programs out there that really stand out. One of those programs is the Florida Baseball Ranch. We're joined now by Randy Sullivan, physical therapist, baseball coach, strength and conditioning specialist, owner and founder of the Florida Baseball Ranch. Randy, I've really been looking forward to this conversation. Welcome to the show.
Me too. Thanks a lot, Crusher. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, listen, we met last December in Texas at the Ron Wolfworth Texas Baseball Ranch. We had some great conversations, unbelievable presentations as well. And I know you're affiliated with Ron and all the good things that go on there. Your background's physical therapy, baseball coach, strength and conditioning as well, putting it all together. Hey, maybe for our audience, just tell us a little bit about the unbelievable program you founded there in Florida.
Oh, I appreciate it. First of all, thanks for having me on, man. This is really exciting. And so here's the deal. You know, I was a baseball coach and a physical therapist, coaching my own three boys through, you know, youth baseball, travel baseball, the whole scene, and really hadn't put the two together. Had kind of segmented them. Here's, I'm a physical therapist by day and a baseball coach by night. And I had a son who was a rising left-handed pitcher and was, you know, 78 to 81 miles an hour, really effective at getting out to the high school level, really effective in the travel ball circuit at winning games. But on the recruiting circuit, no one cared, right? Because he didn't throw hard enough. And so you know, once we realized that that was what they were looking for, we had to figure out a way to throw harder. And that's how it all started. And when I first asked all the baseball people, you know, the thinking back then, this was 10 or 12 years ago, was, you know, you can't teach velocity. It's like growing a bigger head. You know, it's just you have it or you don't. And you know, as a physical therapist, I was thinking, man, it's a human movement. Maybe I can't make it elite, but I certainly can improve it. And so that sort of set me on this path of research, basically on a mission to help my son achieve his dream of playing in the Division I college baseball. And that journey took me to Ron Wolfhorst, Texas Baseball Ranch, where on a hot day in the 4th of July, inside of just a sweltering metal building that felt like you're sitting inside of a wet beer can, I learned a lot of stuff that we actually applied with my son, and it helped him. He went from 81 miles an hour as a senior in high school to 93 when he got after his second year of junior college, and we were on the way. And so he achieved his dreams, but then, you know, as a physical therapist in the baseball community, I started to just attract baseball players with arm injuries. They just showed up and, hey, can you help me? And it wasn't long before I realized, you know, the same variables that increase velocity also decrease your risk of injury and help you overcome arm pain. And so we started applying those principles to pain management, and saw success in helping guys overcome some horrific arm injuries. We have guys that, you know, people said shouldn't be thrown anymore. They're playing pro ball and playing in college now. And so we kind of went down that path and then started writing about it and thinking about it, studying a lot, and just became just passionately, relentlessly pursuing this idea of, like, how can we help these kids get better, you know? And so it turned into a little place next door to my physical therapy clinic called the Armory. We literally had an office, like it's a strip mall kind of place. And we had a 15 by 60 foot run that we put turf in, and it had drywall and an 8 foot drop ceiling that we just trashed the place trying to teach these kids how to throw. And it grew and grew, and people just kept on coming. And then about 2.5-3 years ago, Ron approached me with an idea. He said, look, you know, we're really good together. We're better together than we are. We developed a really good relationship over the years, sharing a lot of ideas, and our families have become friends. And he said, why don't we form the Florida Baseball Ranch? And, you know, in the southeastern region of the United States, you can handle the performance part, but most importantly, I want you to handle the injury component, the rehab and the pain guys. And so anybody in the Texas/Florida Baseball Ranch consortium that has pain comes here. And then if you live close enough to get here, we work on velocity and command and all that stuff. And so it's just evolved, and, you know, we've gotten deep into it. I'm sitting here watching 54 kids work out in our place right now. You know, quickly realized it wasn't all about just throwing mechanics, and then it wasn't all about mobility and physical therapy stuff. So kind of went back to school and became a strength and conditioning specialist, and then studied up on nutrition and things like that. So we really try to take a holistic approach to hyper individualization of training across every facet of the whole experience, so that everybody has an individualized plan, which meant we had to come up with some pretty comprehensive assessments and things like that. And it's been fun to do that. You know, it's been fun to work with these guys and watch them all get better.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And you mentioned a couple things there, Randy, that I thought are really powerful. Number one, I think the one thing that I really noticed down at the baseball ranch with you and Ron Wolfworth is your quest to share information and to promote, you know, the good side of the sport, man. I tell you what, it was almost overwhelming. But the sharing of information is just tremendous across the board. And that's, I think, spread across the entire, you know, sort of developmental baseball area. You guys do a tremendous job there.
Thank you. You know, none of it was our information to begin with, right? You know, everything that you get from somebody. And so to covet that information seems kind of, if you're coveting and hiding information for profit or whatever, then you're kind of going to be stuck where you are, because, you know, eventually you need to grow and move on. And so we're more than happy. I mean, and really at the core of it, Jeff, is that both Ron and I, our mission, our calling is to help these kids get better and to help them achieve their dreams in baseball, but you know, if you've been around the culture of the ranch, being a ranch guy, there's something special about it. It's really, you know, we preach it all the time that, you know, if you want to make it to the big leagues, first of all, the rest of the world is going to tell you that you don't have a shot. They're going to show you what I call the pyramid of hopelessness, where they show how many people get eliminated along the way. And, you know, that the chances of making it where these guys want to get is very slim. And we're like, you know, we're kind of glad other programs do that, because our kids have a better chance. And we just tell them that, look, if you set yourself on a course of the relentless pursuit of excellence in everything that you do in your life, from the way you make your bed in the morning, to the way you treat your friends and family, to the way you handle your nutrition and your schoolwork and your discipline and all that stuff, then the side effect is that great play and development comes from that. It's not, you know, that's not the primary goal. It's almost like the offshoot of being on the relentless pursuit of excellence in everything you do, because we kind of have this culture that true excellence, the kind that gets you to achieve your goals and sustain it, you can't really compartmentalize that. That's not something you can just fake or put away in a box and only be excellent every once in a while. The kind that gets you where you need to get and stick, you know, in baseball and in life, is really just a projection of something that happens in your soul. I mean, that's like, it becomes who you are. And so being a ranch guy is really about making a life shift and being able to get on that pursuit. And then, like you alluded to, being willing to share that information with others. Because if you have all this information, you achieve all this, and you don't help someone else along the way, then you've kind of missed a really rewarding and fulfilling experience in life. So that's what we're all about.
Yeah, great stuff. We're talking with Randy Sullivan, the founder of the Florida Baseball Ranch. You can check out their great information and programs at thefloridabaseballranch.com. Randy, you mentioned something else in that initial statement there, and that I thought was really interesting and maybe a little perplexing for a lot of people. When you talk about velocity and you talk about injuries, you mentioned the fact that a lot of the things that sort of lead us towards throwing harder, which for me is one of the most complex movements in all of sport, throwing that baseball and trying to, you know, do it consistently with increased velocity, accuracy, and to be able to bounce back is one of the most challenging things, I believe, in all of sport. But you said something that was really, really profound, I thought. The things that help you throw harder also help you stay healthy. And that's not the common thinking right now. So I thought that was a great comment you made.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, it is the things that help you throw harder for a long time. Listen, there are plenty of shortcuts that you can get there. And one of the things that I see, well, first of all, it really comes from this, okay? Can we all agree that no one is interested in a program that helps you build your velocity, but puts you at significant risk for injury? I mean, no one's interested in that. And on the other hand, no one's interested in a program that guarantees complete, safe, and healthy and squelches your development, because then you end up, okay, I throw 80 miles an hour and nobody cares. So our mission, our job, is to kind of help our players thread that needle between safety and development. And if you follow a process, you know, when we first started this, there was no information at all. And we kind of had to start figuring some things out for ourselves. And now there's this proliferation of information, and it seems that everybody has an idea as to how to help you, you know, how to help you throw harder. And then the flashback from that is, oh yeah, but you're going to get everybody hurt. And so you have the other side, you know, and it's this really polarizing argument that if you say, I'm going to help a kid throw harder, and, you know, if people don't understand who you are, it's almost like, oh, yeah, well, you must be one of those weighted ball guys who hates children and puppies and you want to hurt people, you know? It's like, look, we're all trying to help, right? And,
yeah.
And so for us, it's about finding the perfect match of a training plan for each guy. And that involves some tools that some people actually go a little bit crazy when they look at them. They look at things like long toss and weighted balls and running throws and things like that are really just tools to help our guys and, you know, kind of push the envelope. But in the right context, with the right guy, with the right preparation and all that, you can help these guys achieve that. I think that we're kind of stuck in two different worlds right now. There's the save your bullet camp, and because, you know, the tissue only has so many throws in it, so you have to save it and protect it.
Right.
And then there's the throw hard, do it all the time camp. And, you know, just like every polarizing argument I've ever experienced in my life, the truth is usually in the middle somewhere. And honestly, what we're trying to do is help our guys find that perfect blend between, okay, you know, a program that pushes you, but pushes you only to the level that your tissue has the capacity to adapt to. And, you know, that requires a comprehensive, well-designed, thorough assessment across a lot of different variables. And then constant objective measurement of anything we can measure, just, and then using that data and the subjective, you know, feedback that you get from your student to design a plan that guides him along the process. And, you know, and we have templates and we have processes and procedures that kind of guide us, but it's always modulated to be individualized based on every single guy's individualized characteristics. So it's a fun process because every single guy is a puzzle. And when you talk about arm health and safety, if your mission is to limit stress, then I think that we actually create a fragile athlete because, you know, human tissue, if it has a blood supply, Davis's law of physiology says that it will remodel itself to resist the stresses under which we place it. So if you limit stress completely, then if ever you do add an additional stress, it is not conditioned to accept that stress. You know, consider an astronaut going up into the space station for, you know, a couple of months. He comes down and his bones are brittle because the cousin to Davis's law is Wolf's law of bone. And it says that, you know, the bone remodels itself. And so if you don't have gravity providing stress to the bones, it becomes thin and brittle. And I think the same thing happens with connective tissue. And so I think you must add stress, but the key is adding it gradually, incrementally over time and letting the tissue adapt as you build its resilience and robustness. If you go too fast, the tissue breaks. If you go too hard and too often, then what happens is the body starts to lay down the hardest tissue that it knows how to lay down, and that lays down bone. And that's when you get calcifications and tendons and you get bone spurs and arthritic changes and things like that. And so you have to find that perfect balance, and that requires a lot of objective measurement. And the one component that a lot of developmental guys and a lot of coaches miss is a relationship with your player, you know, because we can collect all the objective data that we want. But at the end of the day, I tell our guys every day, the number one factor that we have to consider, and it's probably the most important one, is the only one that we can't measure objectively. And that is, how do you feel today? Tell me what you're feeling. And you have to know your guy and you have to get to know him, and he's got to get to know his own body. I mean, you've trained so many guys, you know, that, you know, more important than any objective data we can ever collect is that you got to be respectful of what the guy's telling you he's feeling, you know, and you have to know him and know if he needs to be pushed or is it time to back off of this guy? And so building that relationship is really critical.
Oh, great stuff, Randy Sullivan. Absolutely great stuff. And words of wisdom for every coach, whether it's a volunteer coach just working a short season, you know, minor league club, but those relationships, even in professional baseball, where you might be working with a guy for 5-6 years or in a program like yourself, like the Florida Baseball Ranch, those relationships are so important. And to teach guys how to self-evaluate is also a very, very important skill set, Randy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They got to get to know themselves and they got to understand who they are. And that requires, you know, a lot of education. I mean, you know, you think you're training a guy, everybody thinks you're here, you know, doing battle ropes and flipping tires all the time. Maybe you're doing a lot of talking. You're doing a lot of educating. We're sitting down and we're talking about, you know, I just had a conversation with a young man yesterday who's having some medial elbow pain about tissue organization and how your body works and the physiology of how your body repairs itself. And I think it's important not for me to be the guy to have all the information and tell him what to do, but I think he needs to be educated so they can have ownership and be able, because, you know, I can't be with him all the time. And so he's going to have to learn to take care of himself and know what it takes. And ultimately, I'm a success when my student doesn't need me anymore and he can do it on his own.
Yeah, great, Randy. Great. Well, let's talk about this. You know, one of the things we talk about on the show all the time, or again, we're talking with Randy Sullivan, founder of the Florida Baseball Ranch. Randy, one of the things we talk about on the show is just sort of where we're at in terms of our understanding of human development and human performance. And it's a really, really interesting time because I think really at this point, we know more than we've ever known before. And the rate of learning right now is exponential compared to maybe even 5 years ago. But when we look at athletic performance, it's such a beautiful arena to be in because it's so measured. Again, like we have the developmental models in place. We can manipulate and control pretty much what happens. On the physical side, Randy, I really believe that, you know, on the physical side, faster, higher, stronger, the athletic elements that help an athlete perform, we really have a strong grasp of how all that works and how to train that. And on the technical, tactical side, we also have a very, very strong, I think, understanding of what it takes to sort of tap into an individual player's potential. And you mentioned something that I think is really, really powerful that I just want to go back and revisit and maybe expand on a bit, is the whole picture, the whole human being. You talked about lifestyle shifts and really how you operate on a 24-hour basis can influence you know, how the outcomes in terms of your sport performance happen. But just think about cultures right now and sport cultures. We look at the game of baseball, and again, there's a lot of factors that go on in at the professional level in terms of, you know, the money of the teams and disparity and parity and all those other things. But
when we talk about successful cultures, you know, we look at our individual athletes and we go, okay, let's build a little culture around this athlete. And then the athletes have to adapt as they go into new cultures. But it's the holistic approach that's really getting all powerful. Randy, the mind is one of the next big bastions, I believe, for really pushing human performance forward. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. And it's really fun because it's the environment. You can almost see the tide shifting. Like when Ron first started with the Texas Baseball Ranch and then we joined in with the Florida Baseball Ranch, man, we were rebels and renegades. The stuff we were talking about was outside of the norm, the mainstream. And now, you know, I think it's a large part can be credited to our players who have achieved so many cool things. Like we've had so many guys do well that they kind of kicked the door down in the traditional establishment for us. And they've sort of infused baseball, if you will, with that culture, that sort of ranch culture that is like whatever it takes to get it done. But what you're talking about is really important because it's not just the mind, but it's sort of how people learn and how people are able to optimize human performance. And I think that, you know, there's all this technical data that we have. We have StatCast, and we have Otis, and we have Blast, and we have Rapsodo, and we have HitTrax. We have all this data that we can collect. And you know, on the training side, we have all this equipment that we can use to objectively measure everything. And so, a lot of programs are shifting toward, you know, data driven and sort of evidence based practices, which is fantastic. But I think the area that has been neglected up to now, but is emerging rapidly, is motor learning and skill acquisition science. Like the motor learning and skill acquisition scientists are explaining and discovering for us, how do people learn movement skills and how do they learn to optimize those movements? And it's exciting to watch that science emerge because really, I think that's where the most fertile ground is. You know, the tools, the hows are really good, but to be able to understand and then apply the principles of how people learn and improve and optimize human movement is really critical. And so we're digging way into motor learning and skill acquisition science with guys like Rob Gray and Frans Bosch and the Dutch national team, Ron Wolforth, and another one of your Canadian friends over there, Dr. Steven Oster. And we're actually gathering all these people, these world-class skill acquisition scientists, and we're having a summit here at the Florida Baseball Ranch to try to bridge the gap between theory and academia and application. And I think there's a lot of ground to be covered and a lot of fertile ground to be taken advantage of in improving performance when we understand that the way you train is the separator, right? It's not necessarily the what you train, it's the way, it's the methods that you use, the techniques. And if you study human movement and you study movement science, you know that there are scientifically shown, you know, best practices for making that happen. And if you can take those ideas and apply them in the real world and then use all the objective data and measurement that we have to kind of guide you along the way, I think we have a huge, huge opportunity to see some exponential leaps in performance that really are going to do a lot of things. First of all, just the fun of watching us, you know, improve as a species, like, wow, look at what humans can do that no one could ever do before. But also, along with that, all the many dreams that you help fulfill with all these guys, these hopeful dudes that want to do great stuff. And that's been really exciting for me to get involved in that because honestly, baseball for me is the metaphor. It's sort of the vehicle. But when you study human movement and skill acquisition science and motor control and the dynamics of, you know, of a complex dynamic system like the human body, you're really learning how life works more than as much as learning how baseball players do better. You know, it's teaching how people work, and that's exciting to me.
Randy Sullivan, such great stuff. The big event, again, it's the Skill Acquisition Summit, September 8th and 9th. More information, people, if you want to get down there for that, I strongly, strongly recommend this. I know all of the presenters there, and this is going to be a world-class event at the floridabaseballranch.com is the website. Randy Sullivan, listen to me carefully, my friend. Thank you so much for your time today and all the great things you do for all the young players and families that you help down there at the Florida Baseball Ranch. I'm really glad we could get you on the show here.
It is my honor, dude. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. When I met you in Texas, I was just overwhelmed by just what a brilliant guy you are. And then I started studying all your stuff and watching all the wonderful things you're doing. And I'm just honored to be a part of what you're doing too, man. So keep it up, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, kind words, Randy Sullivan. Thank you so much for that, and thanks for your time today. Great information. There you have it, everybody. Randy Sullivan from the Florida Baseball Ranch. The website, again, floridabaseballranch.com. Check out the information there. Just really, really smart, good stuff. Hey, we have to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the baseball bat. Such a simple tool, hasn't changed since the game began, other than maybe composite and aluminum. But that being said, technology is now taking the baseball bat to new places, not only to help players hit better, but also reduce the risk of injury. That's coming up right after this on Crush Performance. Stick around. I've done a couple presentations recently, one of the latest to an urban sport council. It was a 90-minute presentation that turned into an incredible 3-hour performance extravaganza. So much fun. And then I was asked to speak to the staff and employees of a construction company. What does a sport performance guy have to say to a construction company, you ask? Well, plenty. See, the strategies we use for improving performance in sport are virtually the same as the ones we use anywhere you're trying to perform or work towards a goal or outcome. If you want you or your organization to be successful, you need to make sure you have the best performance environment possible. And there are performance factors you can influence to improve productivity, on-the-job performance, and maybe most important of all, reduce the risk of injury. This is what I love to talk about. Everything you need to know so you, your team, franchise, business, or organization can operate at the highest level possible. I've been lucky to speak in many parts of the world, to sporting organizations, bankers, oil companies, sales teams, municipalities, schools, and now a construction company, all in the name of helping people to understand what it takes to perform at their very best. Right now, we're currently booking Crush Performance summer and fall presentations. If you'd like us to come out and present to your group, please write to us at info@crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Jeff Kershaw here. Listen, if you do want to get in touch with us, go to our website. It's crushperformance.com. Get our newsletter. Subscribe to the podcast. And stay hooked up with the world of human performance as we keep you on the cutting edge. On Twitter, at Jeff Crush, or you can go to Crush Performs. And for all other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and our YouTube channel, which has been a lot of fun, check out Crush Performance. Today, we are talking baseball as Major League Baseball heads into the second half. A lot of storylines going on. And we always say it, right? There's a lot you can learn by looking at various sports across the board. And if you want to know what to do, look to the pros. Sometimes, if you want to know what not to do, you also look for the pros. But for the most part, if you want to find out what's going on in the world of human development, we look to the pros, and we're looking at baseball today. Equipment has always been a hot topic on the show. Technology is pushing human performance forward, but it can also reduce risk of injuries, which is very, very important in today's landscape because there's so much money involved and there's also so much lost time due to injuries. Listen, our number one priority is keeping our athletes healthy and safe for sport and for life. And there are advancements in equipment that are really helping us do this. So if we talked about the baseball bat, what could possibly change in the baseball bat that could help athletes perform better, players hit better, and help us reduce the risk of injury? The bat hasn't changed since the game began, other than maybe the composite bats and aluminum bats coming around. But the idea of the baseball bat hitting the ball hasn't changed. Round stick, round ball, make contact, run the bases. It seems quite simple. Well, Easton has come up with some really cool technology that is designed to help us reduce the risk of injury for our players. And it's really important. I wanted to talk about it today. We're joined now by Scott Stevenson, equipment rep for Easton. Scott, thanks for joining the show today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, an exciting time in baseball as we head into the second half. A very unique year in baseball. And I guess maybe there's three big things that we talk about from behind the scenes in terms of player performance. And that's the home runs, the strikeouts, and the hits, for me, are the three big topics. And then, of course, you know, we have everything that's going on division by division, but it's shaping up to be an interesting second half. The All-Star game, I thought, mirrored what's happening in baseball right now with the number of home runs, the strikeouts, and everything that's going on in the game. Any feelings from you in terms of what's going on in baseball?
Yeah, I actually thought it was much, strikeouts aside, I thought it was actually one of the more entertaining All-Star games as well. I actually thought that typically the last couple of years it's kind of all American League's running away with things. I thought that it was nice to see a good competitive game for a change. still be nice to see a few more balls be put in play as opposed to just relying on home runs to score 8 of the 10 runs that the AL score or that the AL scored. But I thought it was actually an entertaining All-Star game.
Yeah, and so did I. And I thought it was really interesting to watch and see. You're right, sort of the way the game's going down. The long ball, man, it's so sexy and big. But it's really changed the game and how we play. Of course, analytics plays a big game. But one of the big things that's really happening in the game, I think that we're really seeing, is the focus on injury and injury prevention, Scott. And it's really bode well. We're seeing a sort of a leveling off in terms of injuries and the incidence of Tommy John and all their collateral injuries. Shoulder injuries are down. And, you know, we always talk about the impact of technology on sport. And when it comes to technology and reducing injuries and increasing performance, that's pretty important. I wanted to talk to you about this because this is a really, really interesting part of the game. The baseball bat, it hasn't changed for hundreds of years. You know, it's pretty standard issue type stuff. But Easton has come out with a real brilliant move, I thought, that's not only going to maybe potentially help help hitters maybe have a better feel for their bat, but it's also going to potentially reduce the risk of injury. Let's talk about the ADV, the Easton ADV.
Yeah, and even like this is going to be a composite bat, which even still, the composite bat really hasn't changed in probably 20 or 25 years. So with this new ADV, there's lots we can talk about this bat, but the start on the injury prevention side is the new Power Boost soft knob. The idea behind the soft knob is actually to help prevent the hamate injury, whether it's breaking or bruising. The knob on the end of the bat is actually made out of a vulcanized rubber, very similar to what you find in auto racing tires.
I love it, man. So like the hot rod of bats then.
yeah, essentially. And it's instantaneous. When you pick it up, you notice the difference on the knob, even just by holding it. And then once you start swinging it, like for those guys who play it at a high level, you're like, where was this when I was a kid? Like,
yeah, well, I can tell you,
you're dreaming that you could have had that when you were playing.
Yeah, no question about it. When I held it, I'm going, okay, because I wasn't sure about having the soft knob or the rubber knob into the bat. I'm going, okay, how is this going to work? Like when you're hot and sweaty, or when if your pine tar is not right, how is this going to work? I get the composite bat. I'm really, really intrigued to see this into a wood bat, especially because I was really surprised at how great it felt, and I can tell the difference just from swinging it in dry swings. But I'm really, really intrigued on how this could help our players stay healthy. We've dealt with a number of hamate injuries over the year, broken hamates, and as you mentioned, bruised ones. And it is a nasty, nasty injury to deal with, especially for the baseball players.
Yeah, and for right now, we're going to have it launching this fall in the U.S. and probably later into the winter up in Canada on bats. For in the BB Corps world, so for your high school and college level players. So we're getting there for that level of elite player, but we do already have it approved by Major League Baseball, and we are working on getting some stuff out to some of our pro guys to get some testing done on it so we can start introducing this to the pros, which from the breaking side of the hamate injury, that's generally where you see it a little more often.
Yeah, and surprising enough, a lot of those hamate injuries happen on check swings, not even on full swings. So I think there's a real big place for this. So let's talk about this in the composite bat. Are we worried at all about how it's connected to the bat? Is there any chance of it coming apart? Or
no.
I'm sure you guys have it down.
It's completely fused to the handle, so it's not going anywhere. It's like they were put on in separate pieces, but by the time our bat engineers are done with it, it's one piece.
Yeah, for sure. And with the wood bat, I'm intrigued by this. How is this going to work with the wood bat? Because, first of all, having MLB approval, that's huge, man. And I'm really, really anxious to hear what some of the pro guys say about the bat once they get their hands on it. But in terms of fusing this to a wood bat, how is this going to work? I mean, again, technology pushing the limits of performance. I love this.
Well, it's still a little bit top secret on that part, and so the engineers haven't told us everything on how they fuse it to the wood bat, but I have seen it. The only difference when you see it on the composite and aluminum bat that we're doing it with, it would be a black knob. For Major League Baseball, they did require us to make a clear knob so they can continuously see the wood grain throughout the entire wood bat. But basically, what I can say is that we're just basically making the knob of the bat just a little bit smaller so we can fuse this soft knob right over top of it.
Right.
How the guys are doing it, I have no idea.
Top secret. It's a need to know basis, which is kind of cool too. Hey, it's a competitive business out there. Easton's really, really pushing the envelope in a number of fronts for sure. But when it comes to the bat, I mean, people are saying, okay, I'm going to go buy a bat. It's an investment now, Scott, for sure, because of the price of the bats now.
Definitely.
And you have to get the right bat for not just the level of game you're playing, but also for your type of game. What are some of the ins and outs of, you know, getting the right bat for a particular player?
Well, when we're talking in this market, in the BB Corps market for the high school college players, so for those of them aren't familiar, BB Corps basically is trying to make a aluminum bat or a composite bat have an exit velocity similar to that of a wood bat, more for player safety, so you get less comeback or injuries to the pitchers and infielders. So when it comes to picking a bat that fits the player, performance to a degree is almost taken out of it because the exit velocities are kind of tuned to be almost exactly the same across the entire line. So when you're looking at that, whether you're choosing a composite bat or aluminum bat or a hybrid bat, where you have a aluminum barrel, a composite handle, it really comes down to balance points and comfort level with each individual bat and each individual player.
Yeah, and that more than anything has to just get out and swing the thing and make sure it feels right.
Yeah, and like so we're actually seeing a trend over the last 5 years at the college level where that bigger, more powerful hitter, say your first baseman, third baseman, right fielder kind of guy, is actually going back to one-piece aluminum bats because the balance point on the one-piece aluminum bat is further away from the hand. And if you can swing that at a similar bat speed to a more balanced bat, you'll actually generate more power just because of the momentum you can generate.
Sure. Sure, and making that solid contact makes a difference. Yeah, the art, man. You wouldn't think that the technology in bats could be so advanced, but it really, really is, and this is a great advancement. So it's called the Easton ADV. It's coming out later this year in the U.S. and towards the new year in Canada.
Absolutely, yep.
Great stuff. And if people want to get more information on this, Scott, where could they go? Easton.com?
It won't be on our website until probably end of August, just as we're getting ready to launch it. So right now, it's your best bet is you really want to get some info on it, is going to your favorite baseball store and start asking them about it. They'll have the information they can start talking to about it and maybe even get your pre-order on it for when it does show up at the store.
Great stuff, Scott. Really appreciate your time today, man. Onwards, onwards. The second half is underway.
Absolutely.
And there you have it, everybody. A new era for the baseball bat. Who knew? But anytime you can help reduce the risk of injury for an athlete, I'm all in. And so I'm really looking forward to this one hitting the market mainstream. Well done, Easton. Well done. We've had so many hamate injuries and issues over the years that this could be a real, real force, important force in the game of baseball at every single level. So good stuff. Thanks, Scott, for that. I also want to thank Randy Sullivan from the Florida Baseball Ranch for joining us, and I want to thank you as well. That's the show for today. Here we go into the second half of Major League Baseball. Let's watch with great interest to see how this second half unwinds. The first half was interesting. One of the more interesting starts to the baseball season I can remember in a long, long time because of the teams, the disparity, some of the storylines behind the scenes, some of the great performances. But again, it comes down to home runs, strikeouts, and hits. The big three, and that's the story for this year. We're watching the second half with interest. I cannot wait for the postseason. Coming up next week, everybody, a really important show as we look at money management in professional sport. Oh, the stories that we've heard, the horror stories. There's so much money to be made out there, but there's also so much money lost. Having a plan is critical, just like we wrote in our book, The Performance Plan, that's out. Now, again, I have to thank everybody for the great response to that. It's available on Amazon, and we've had a great response to that because in terms of performance, you have to have a plan to follow, and you can deviate from it. But if you don't have that plan, it's very, very hard to make adjustments. The same is true for financial planning as well. So, so critical. We're going to talk to the good people from the RBC Wealth Management Professional Sport Division about their program and how they're helping athletes at every single level of the game manage their wealth. When we talk about setting up an athlete for success, there's three main pillars of performance that we need to start with. One, you got to have a passion for what you do. It's just never going to succeed unless you're absolutely loving what you do. Number two, you have to have a very good idea of what you're trying to accomplish and what you're good at and how good you can become. You have to believe that you can make it, because if you don't believe, oh boy, it's an uphill battle. And then the third pillar is the financial side of it. You have to have the finances under control. One, so you can train and do what you need to do to become a top performer. And three, once you are performing, you have to make sure you don't have the stress and distraction of not being financially sound so you can focus on performing on the field. And there's tricks to the trade. We're going to review it next week. We're also going to look at the money in sport. How much money is there to be made exactly?
Well, let me put it this way. It is great work if you can get it. That's coming up next week. We're talking wealth management on Crush Performance. We'll talk to you then.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is a Leveling the Playing Field Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I have Danita Johnson. She is the Director of Business Development for the Los Angeles Clippers.
So at the time I went to the Suns, we were in the Western Conference Finals. Like, I could send out, and this is when we used to fax orders, I could send out an order via fax and have like 100 tickets back in like 20 minutes for like our games for Suns. So I could easily do that. For the W, I had to really build a business. I had to find ways to connect. I had to, you know, defy the odds. And so I think when I was doing that, that really helped me with my sales skills. I finished second in the league in sales in my second season. And so it was just like a challenge I set forth to myself was like, okay, this is quote unquote a tougher space. But for me, it was a space where I was like, if I can master this, I'm going to develop my skill level a lot quicker.
Leveling the Playing Field with Bobby Sue Doyle Hazard can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.